So I'm dealing with a little bit of a cold. So if I cough a little bit, I'm sorry, guys. So you guys all stuffed and ready to go to bed? Yeah, man. Some good food. Thanks again, Brent and Phil and Andy for making that for us. It's awesome. So yes. So as Max said, tonight, it's really cool. I love these men's nights. Just to be able to come meet together with all you guys and hopefully every time you've come, you've been able to walk away with what I like to call a call to action. So every time you come, you're like, I learned one thing that I can apply to my life today that's going to help me further my relationship with Christ, further my relationship with my family, whatever that might be. And so my prayer is tonight that you'll also walk away with something like that. So for those who don't know me, my name's Tony D'Amico, and I am one of the pastors here at The Rock, as well as a creative director. And tonight I get to talk on one of my favorite subjects, which is missions. And ironically, missions is going to be the last of our topics, and at the end you're going to see why I would think that is ironic. It did not play out this way, but the Lord had it in mind that it would. And so when you guys think of missions, what comes to mind? So here's a few images, you know, especially in our culture, right? This is what one of the things we can think about. Kids in Africa going and, you know, doing aid there, feeding the children and making wells and things like that. What about playing music at 10 p.m. in Genoa, Italy at night? Because that's when the Italians like to actually start life, is at 10 p.m. And so I show you guys these photos because sometimes there's this preconceived notions of what missions are. And we can kind of rally our minds around those and be like, okay, this is exactly what a mission is. And then when it's something outside of that, you might think, well, is that really a mission or is that something completely different? And so back in 2006, I was given the opportunity to go on a mission trip. And it was one of those things at that time in my life, I was not living necessarily a lifestyle that was pleasing to the Lord. And I needed a huge lifestyle change. And the Lord also knew that. And so one of those things that he did was he challenged me to go on a mission trip. And the short story was Mac and Steele were planning a trip to Italy. And they were going to play music and support a sister church in Torino, Italy during the Olympics in 2006. And so, again, my initial reaction is like, yeah, right, that's not going to happen. So that's a total pipe dream. But you know what? I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to commit it to the Lord. I'm going to throw a fleece out, per se, and I'm going to see if I can get this off work. I, at that time, was a retail manager, and if any of you guys have ever worked retail, trying to take 2 weeks off right after Christmas is pretty much a big no-no. And I asked my boss, and she said, sure, that sounds good. You don't have enough PTO, but we can work that out. Maybe you can work 6 days 1 week, and then when you come back, you can work another day to fill in for that time. So I was like, okay, well, check number one. God said yes. The next thing was to raise funds for my wife and I, which was about $4,000. And again, we threw that fleece out. We prayed about it, and we were able to raise that money in a short amount of time, as well as we owned a business at that point in our lives, and my wife had to get some people to help facilitate that. And so here's a picture of me on that trip. And the reason why I like this photo, because it's kind of weird, right? Like, why is he showing me this photo? This is basically the scared look on my face, the overwhelming, just feelings that I had of being on this mission trip, because it was something that was life-changing to me. Like, this was one of the first days that we were there. And being on this trip really changed my life. It changed my marriage. And it drastically sent me on a completely different path than I thought I was going to be on. And so the reason why I want to start off with that is because being on mission, again, can look drastically different to every person. The calling might be drastically different to every person. And the literal definition of mission in Webster's Dictionary says this: ascending or being sent for some duty or purpose or those sent. So we have to be very careful not to have specific preconceived notions of what it looks to be on a mission. Because if we look at this definition, it can be for some duty, it can be for some purpose, those who are sent. It's ascending of sorts. And I remember when I was first talking with somebody that I got, when I got back from this mission trip to Italy, they're like, oh, you went on a vacation? I was like, no, it's a mission trip. And they're like, oh, wait, well, mission trip to Italy, that sounds like a vacation. And I just kind of chuckled because I was like, you know, the hardest part about explaining that sometimes to people in any of these mission capacities is this. Torino, Italy, in all reality, is an occult capital of the world. There is black magic like crazy there. We were there, and I remember like a dude rolling out, and this is no kidding, like complete garb, like with a crystal ball and like a scepter in his hand. And it is not a very easy mission field. It is very oppressive. It is very spiritually oppressed. And there is a war going on there. And so it's one of the hardest missions that I've ever been on, spiritually and just even physically, because of that. And a lot of people are like, oh, Italy, it's not like, you know, going to Honduras and doing these things. We're going to Africa and doing those things. It's more of a vacation. Well, in all reality, it's not. It's a very dark place. And just like our neighborhoods and just like other places in the world, people need to know Jesus. So again, the good news is in the diversity of all this, doing mission work, doing this work for God, there's not a one-size-fits-all prescribed method, okay? So with that understanding, we can see that Jesus literally gives us a mission, and he says, go and make disciples of all nations. So we are called to be on mission for the rest of our lives. When we become a Christian, this is not an option. We need to learn to build it into our everyday lives. And so when I was doing some research on this verse, a lot of commentators actually will focus on the idea of making disciples or teaching, not necessarily the go factor, because we're always going to go somewhere. You're going to move somewhere. You're going to be in school. You're going to be at your job. You're always going to be moving around. You're going to go somewhere, okay? But God does tell us to go. He said, go and make disciples. And so we have to remember that it is part of our DNA as a Christian. We need to make disciples and teach people about who Jesus Christ is. This is a pretty clear call to action to me. And so again, for me at this point in 2006, I was specifically being sent to go. There was a purpose. It was to play music in a city that is hosting the Olympics and to share the gospel literally with thousands of people and nations, like all of the nations of the world are here because it is the Olympics. And the other thing was we were supporting our sister church, Il Refugio, that was right in the center of all this that was happening. It was pretty awesome. And so when we step out of our comfort zone into this realm of the unknown and completely and utterly trust in God, he's going to change you in mighty ways. And so there were three things that I learned being on mission over the last 10 years of my life, 12 years of my life. But this first one was especially affected me and has changed a lot of how I do things since this mission trip. So let's pray, and then I've got three things that I want to talk to you about. Father, thank you again for tonight that we can all come together as men, that we can share a meal together, that we can laugh together, that we can be in fellowship with one another. And as Max said, I pray that we'll continually do that as men even throughout the summer, that this is not our only time, that we can continually live that out every day that of our lives. And so, Lord, we just commit our time to you. Teach us what it means to be on mission. And we just love you and we commit this time to you. Amen. Okay, so I learned three things from being on this first mission trip, and it has applied to my life since then on every mission trip that I've been on. I've been on a lot. I could go through a whole list, but I've been on trips, I would say locally, because we do mission to the city work, and we've done these multiple times throughout the years. We've done national trips where we've just gone to other states and helped them do specific things at churches, outreach, promoting their churches, helping clean up their churches, things like that. And then I've gone on, I think, 4 international mission trips. And so oftentimes, especially myself, when I first was going on a mission trip, the one thing that I thought was I had the hero mentality, right? I signed up for this mission trip or I signed up for an event, and I have this purpose, and it's going to be fulfilled no matter what that is. It's going to be passing out tens of thousands of flyers, or we're going to lead so many people to Christ. It's going to be the most amazing thing. There's going to be this revival. And we're going to change everybody's life that we come in contact with when we go on this mission trip. And how often do we have that let's say, hero mentality? It's very common among us. And having a positive attitude is a good thing. It really is. God does tell us to ask for these things, and he will give them to us. But we also have to remember that we have our plans, but the Lord will establish our steps. And so we can see the first thing we talk about is missions change you. But Proverbs 16:9 says, the heart of the man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. And this has become a life verse to me. because in all of the planning that I've ever done in any of these type of things is we have our plan and then God has his plan, which a lot of times is completely different. And when we step into that and we let God's plans be better than ours, because they always are, he's going to establish our steps, and it's going to challenge us in many ways. It's going to change us in many ways. If you're placed into a situation where you're completely and utterly desperate for Jesus, it doesn't matter, again, what type of mission you're on. It could be a local thing and passing out flyers at Draper Days, or you're on an international mission trip. If you take yourself out of your day-to-day activities and trust in the Lord and just focus on the mission at hand, your faith will be challenged. Your life will be changed by that challenge and by those who are around you. Jesus will draw you closer to him in this whole process. And it's not something to be taken lightly. So we have the opportunity coming up here in the summer. There's going to be a couple things going on. And my challenge for you would be this. Like, if you're going to be involved in like the Draper Days or Taylorsville Days or Mission to the City, take some time off of work. Focus on exactly what you should be doing that day. Get up, have your quiet time with God, have an extended quiet time with God, have an extended time of prayer. Make that day a priority in the sense of what your mission is, and don't just fit it in. Don't be like, I'm going to get up, I'm going to go to work, and I'm going to go pass out flyers at Draper Days from 5:30 to 6:30. I did my time, and now I'm going to go back home, go to sleep, and all is well. Take yourself out of your bubble and let God use you in a mighty way in those situations. In the past, the men and women that I've locked arms with on mission trips have also challenged my faith. Because when we separate ourselves and actually involve through this whole daily process, you're going to see heroes pop up in that, heroes of faith, people that will be around you that can help you and humble you and teach you and encourage you. Listening to stories and quiet time thoughts, those things have always challenged me. Looking at the love that people have for other people also has changed my life. And men in the room, this room, you're all men. You guys are the ones that should be stepping up and leading the church in this. You should be leading your families in this. This isn't something that should just be a secondary thing to you. And if you're married, you should be leading this with your family, because this is something that can be very encouraging to them. It can build your family together. And I love this picture. And I talked to Jim, and I asked if I could share this. Jim Jacall, if you guys don't know, are you here tonight, Jim? I asked if I could share this photo because it's very meaningful to him, and it was very meaningful to me when I saw this. It was just the pure fact of you got Jim, his wife, and his two daughters. This is Mission of the City last year. We're playing a show down at the library, and they together had an opportunity to share the gospel with this man, and then they all got together and pray together with him. That's just an amazing picture of what we can do as a family when we have that mission mindset. Like, we are going to Mission to the City, and we are going to go down to the library that night. We are going to focus our whole family's day on doing this. And his family was a large part of Mission to the City. They were at a lot of the events. It has eternal fruit, and it has lasting fruit within your family. It's a great picture. If you have no kids and you're married, you start doing this now with your spouse, because when you have kids, it built into your relationship already. And then you can do this, and it's just second nature to you. It's set as a foundation. I have not been on a mission trip, I think, except for one time when my wife was pregnant. She was not able to come with us. But all the other times, my wife, Shannon, has come with us on missions, and it has only made our marriage better. It's all it's done. It's been an amazing experience. Singles, you have no excuse. You should be doing this all the time. Tim Stevens, you here? No. All my examples. You guys know Tim Stevens. I think that dude has been on every mission trip. Seriously. He's using his stage of life and using it as influence in this area. It's awesome. So guys, we have the opportunity to do this. Don't let it pass us up. When we completely immerse ourselves and focus on mission, it really starts to change a lot of things. And especially the one thing that starts to change is our heart. Because then all of a sudden, this focus changes. And this is the second thing that I learned was all of a sudden my focus changes from me to this outward focus. And what I mean by that is, again, step out of our daily routine. We focus on the mission at hand. All of a sudden our focus changes. It's off our self. It's off our to-do list. It's out of our distractions. It's out of the life that we have going on. All of the things, all of our problems, and all of a sudden the focus changes. We get out of this little bubble and it's like, oh, there's a lot more going on than what I've got in my little world. It's like the idea of a sinking ship. We're all saved. We're in a life raft. We have the ability to just hunker down, hold onto our life jackets, and just sit there. Or we can be the people that are rowing and throwing out life preservers, constantly trying to rally people, because people are going to drown. They are going to die. There are people all around you that are drowning, and they are going to hell. Do you keep your distance because it's safe? You say, oh, I don't want to do that. It's just too hard. You need to stay in the lifeboat and not move. Or do you steer that boat and you start throwing out life preservers? We have the ability to do that. When we take that focus off ourselves and start looking at the people around us, we see them differently. We start seeing them valuable. We see them as God's children. So throwing out that life preserver is an amazing thing. And a lot of times we're on mission. We think, oh, what our goal is to see people pray that sinner's prayer, right? That's the ultimate goal, because why? Well, I think it's just inherently in us that we like to see results like that. One thing that I've really learned again on these mission trips is we can toss out a life preserver and someone can grab it, but that doesn't mean they're going to get onto the boat that you're on. It might take another boat coming up, and at that point they get on. And what I mean by that is you can share something with somebody and they don't get it right off the bat, but maybe 2 years later, there's fruit from that. And so when we go on mission trips, again, we're not the hero. We're just called to go and make disciples and teach them about who Jesus is. And somebody else might see that come to light. They might see someone from step from death to life, but you got them along that whole process. So, and also, when you're on mission together, it means being with a team of people, okay? Prayer. This is the coolest thing ever. If you've ever been in a desperate situation and you start praying with people, all of a sudden your prayers come from these like surfacey kind of prayers to like really intimate, deep prayers. Because now, again, this focus has changed off of you and it's changed to something different. Being able to pray together and with those around you, it helps you bring together as a team. It helps you start putting differences aside, and it helps you work together and learn patience and practice forgiveness. It also gives us the ability, again, to look past ourselves and help other churches. It's also really hard, but it's really good. But it becomes something that teaches us to even be what? More desperate for Jesus. And that's the third point. So no matter what type of mission you're on, whether it's local, national, or international, I have experienced the same desperation for Jesus when I pulled myself out of my normal situation and focused just on what he has for us. So one time we had a trip to Colorado, and it was odd because they sent us to this college campus to go witness to kids. Well, we got there, and there was no kids. We're like, that's weird. Why'd they send us here? So we used that opportunity to just pray. We prayed and we prayed that just God would use us in some way. And it was strange. Then all of a sudden, we started running into some kids and we were able to have some gospel conversations with them. It was a pretty neat thing because we had a desperation that God would use us, and he did. Frank Apisa, he's a dear brother and pastor in Italy. And he would always tell us, don't come to our early morning meetings if you have not had your quiet time and prayer. Because if you don't, you're not going to be able to focus on what Jesus has for you that day, especially when things get really hard. And it was such a great reminder because, again, on this trip in 2006, it was that first time I really understood what that desperation of seeking God was. And there was a day it became very real. We were in this piazza, and we were getting set up for a concert. Again, we had our plan. We're going to set up some gear, and we're going to get ready to play this concert. And we get ready, we start to play, and guess what? All the power goes out. We're like, great, okay. So again, we have an opportunity to just pack up and go home. Or this is where Steele would say a defining moment for him. I would say this is where Steele became a hero in my faith. Steele got up and just started playing with his acoustic guitar, singing at the top of his lungs, sharing the gospel, singing worship music. We were desperate for Christ in that situation, and he led us into a great place. And the cool thing about this, not only were we playing this piazza again, because there's 1,000 people here. This is Katie Couric. You guys know who she is, right? So we literally are playing right next to where they're doing the morning show, because there's an 8-hour time difference, right, from here, from the United States to where we were in Italy. So we're playing right next to while they're doing this morning show, and it was kind of funny because it was like, well, great, well, they could probably hear us in the United States through this TV show. But it revealed a lot in our hearts because, again, I think Frank was right when he was like, we need to be desperate for Christ in all that we do. Because when we came to this place, it was like we didn't know what we were doing. The power's different. The food's different. The culture's different. It's 8 hours time change. Everything's kind of skiwampus. We're super tired. But we knew one thing. We were desperate for Jesus. We were desperate to be used by God. And that's what we were focused on. It reveals a lot in our hearts as well. So spending a lot of time with people, things get messy. Things get ugly. If you've ever spent 15 days with 30 people in like this much space, a lot in your own heart starts to get wrung out. And we become desperate for Christ and spending time together and being in the Word and being in prayer. So in conclusion, we can see that missions can change our lives. They can bring us closer to those around us. And ultimately, they bring us closer to the Lord. We need to be committed to being on mission. We need to go because that is how people are going to hear the name of Jesus. And this is what Paul writes. And I think it's very intentional that the words that they use. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to be saved unless they believe in him? How can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the messengers who bring good news. I have to believe that Jesus used that word go. Paul used that word sent very intentionally. I hear a lot of people say, well, I don't go on missions, but I donate lots of money to missions. It's not my call to go. Or I hear a lot of people say, it's just my call to pray for missions, but I don't go on missions. Mind you, we always ask people to pray. When we go on mission trips, I've always seen we send out like a little prayer card. It's like, pray for us. We always ask for money because it takes money to go on mission trips, and it takes a lot of prayer. But I feel that if we as men skip out on that and just say, we're a prayer, or we just give money, all of a sudden, we miss out on that opportunity that God says, go, when he sends us, and then also this idea of how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. You miss out on that opportunity if you just say, well, this is all I do. I actually don't go on missions. How will anybody know who Jesus is if nobody goes? And how will they tell them without being sent? Our church is a sending church, if you guys don't know that. Our mission statement is win the lost, build the believer, and send the sanctified. Once you become a believer, we want you to be sent on a daily basis to share the good news of Jesus Christ with those around you. Our hope is that we can equip you, and we can challenge you to go and do that, and that you can share the good news of Jesus. Ultimately, he has sent us. We are all unique. We are all individually talented. We are placed in specific areas of the city, gifts of influence. Don't mistake that we've all been given these for a specific purpose that can be used. God sent you where you live so that you can be with the people that you are. He's got you in the job that you are so that you have an area of influence that you can share Jesus with people. So because I really like the ideas of call to action, I'm going to call Cole to the stage, Cole Walters. Give him a round of applause. Yes. I think you're going to need to use that mic.
Me.
There you go.
Hi. So, it's kind of cool that Tony was talking about Italy because we're going to go to Italy again this year. And my wife and I got the blessing to get to go this past fall to Milano. And we met Pam and Frank for the first time, which we'd looked forward to, as well as Steve and Debbie Ogle are also pastoring there in Milan. They have a little church. It's really small. It's called Il Refugio. And it meets right on the campus, right? Kind of like if you're right next to the U of U. It's right there, like where the track station. You get off, you walk right by the church. And their whole mission is to reach the students there, as well as the staff and people that live and work there. And they do that by teaching them English. You can't get a job in Europe if you don't know how to speak English. And if you don't speak it really well, you don't get a job either. And so the students are really interested. So we were able to go over there, and by loving on them, not a vacation, it was actually a question we got from them a few times, like, so why are you here? And that was a cool opportunity to tell them about Jesus, because Jesus loves people, and we love Jesus, and so we were there to love them. And it really opens their heart, because, like Tony said, prayer went into it, planning goes into it. It's just an experience that will change your life. It will also change if you feel like you're like in a little bit of a rut. Going on a mission trip is a great way to get out of it, because it really forces you to seek the Lord. So we're going to have a meeting at our house on May 24th at 6:30. I've invited the whole team that went last year, so hopefully most of them will be able to come. And you can ask us questions if you're interested. Just come and find out. Just come and hang out with us. We'll probably have some food. We'll probably talk about what the plans for this year. But it's really just an informative time to come and hear what it was about, how we did it, and if the Lord would lead you. We're going to go again this year in October. So, cool. Yeah, come and talk to me if you have any questions.
Yep. And Bill talked about Romania this last weekend. So, you guys, we have all sorts of opportunities to do these type of things. And again, we'll have some more opportunities coming up over the summer. Don't take them lightly. Be involved in them, all in. And so my challenge to you is, you are sent. You guys are all men who need to be living on mission. So I have a couple discussion questions. I'm going to pray, and I'll just leave these questions up, and I think you can just kind of talk about them with some guys around you, and then you can just hang out after that until, I guess, Mac kicks us out of the building. All right. Well, Lord, thank you again just for tonight that we can come together. Lord, just thank you that you do call us, Lord, that you give us talents. You put us in places that we can be used by you. Thank you that we even know that's true, that you will use us when we give ourselves to you in those situations. And so tonight I just ask that we can just continually fellowship with one another, build those relationships, and Lord, just put it on our hearts to be on mission for you more and more every single day. And these things we pray. Amen.